Hi, this is Kashish. Welcome to a new episode of Business Odyssey.
Hello, we are Lakshmi and Laura, partners in the journey of building community best practice. Thank you for joining us, where we focus on exploring the human-centric approach while we consider all the variables that affect it, from the learning and development, performance, change processes, leadership and coaching, diversity and inclusion, and other key topics as well. Today, we are joined by a status quo settler and entrepreneur, Diana Veturelli. Diana is the CEO and co-founder of Discourse, which is a unique digital platforms that enables growth, learning, and development for all, and unleashes organizational agility. Happy learning.
Let's go to the interview now.
Okay, welcome, Diana, Lakshmi. It's a pleasure to meet, to have you here. Will you like to introduce yourself a little?
Hello, and good evening, or good day, wherever you are. My name is Diana Veturelli. I am seated at the moment in Croatia, in Europe, south of Europe, and I wish you a welcome. Just a few words to myself. I'm a multiple entrepreneur, and I'm very eager to help organizations to cope with the complexity and with the dynamic environment in which we are at the moment. And one of my newest endeavors is the company Discourse and a digital platform where we try to promote discourse on an organizational level.
Okay, thank you for that. Lakshmi, do you want to say something before we start the interview?
Nothing much, just a warm welcome, Diana, and thank you for being on this podcast series, okay? Go ahead, Laura, all yours.
Okay, so let's tackle the first question. okay, that will be, do we have a common understanding of what organizational agility is? And also, why do we need it?
I'm absolutely sure that we don't have a common or shared understanding about organizational agility or agility at all. Because if you come to a company and ask only the board members, what do they understand by the word of agile agility or organizational agility? If you ask seven people, you get seven different answers and seven different expectations also on the organizational level. So it is very interesting that some people think, or some managers, leaders, that all the other employees in the company should have a shared or common understanding on it. So what is really needed in this complex environment in which we are operating on a daily basis is to get a shared understanding about organizational issues, about all the challenges we are having on a daily basis. Do we see it in the same way? Do we have the same understanding on it? And this is the first step to get and to be successful in the market today.
Okay, and while, can I ask you, what are some of that issues, organizational issues, if you can provide examples of that?
There are a lot of different.
Like the first one that came to your mind right now.
One of the biggest problems I'm noticing is that we are trying to solve our problems we are having in a company, how to be more innovative, creative, more flexible, how can we cope with the complexity, how can we be even sometimes quicker. But to be quick is not always, or faster, it is not always the most important thing. And we are trying to solve those problems, or the companies are trying to solve these problems with management tools and approaches, which come from the beginning of the last century, when the environment was completely different. And then they are having a lot of irritations, a lot of stress, and they do not reach their goals or objectives they wanted to achieve in some way. So they're trying, as a consequence, to find who is guilty for it. And mostly they are saying that the people are guilty and that they have to be changed, the people and the employees. But people are not the problem. They are the solution to the problem. And people always act according to the environment in which they are. And if we are trying to change something in an environment which is created, for example, for a time before 100 or 120 years, and with the same approach we had for 100 or 120 years, for sure we cannot cope with the surprises, with the complexity in the dynamic markets we are experiencing now. So the thing is that we should change the environment as well, and that we should change our approach toward organizational design and toward people as well.
Okay. I have one question for that, but first I will ask the other one. Does HR or people operations need agility as well?
Agility?
Yes.
It depends what do you understand with agility. So what do you understand under agility? Then I can maybe
answer. It will not be the same. Okay, from your perspective, please.
From my perspective, are we talking about agile practices or are we talking about organizational agility? That's the main question.
Okay,
I think.
Yes, please.
Sorry.
You put it in two ways. So I think it's better if we know the difference between those two ways. So about agility in HR and best practice, agile best practice as well.
So firstly, we should move from the idea of best practice in complex environments. In complex environments, we can't have best practices, because best practice would mean that we have the control over things which are happening around us and that we can influence them and influence the output and the outcomes of anything. And in complex environments where we have surprises on a daily basis, and each time the same input will get another result, end result of it, there can't be a best practice. Best practice is something which is very common, maybe for complicated environments where we can control something, where we always have with the same input the same output. Then we can say, okay, maybe we have some best cases and best practices. But in a complex environment, we can't have the best cases, because you can't use the experience of someone else on your environment and on your approach and on your problems you are having. Because you know the variable, but you never know how they interact and what will be the end result of it.
Okay. So, yes, please. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but before the questions forget or lose in the environment or whatever it is, what is complexity? A complexity environment means to you? What are you referring to? What are you referring to?
Complex or complexity, about complexity, you can talk, you can know, for example, the variables which are interacting, but their interaction will result each time in a different way. These are the surprises. You can't control surprises. If you can't control surprises, then you can't act always in the same way. You have to adapt each time in a different way. So the experience you are having or gaining in complexity won't help you for the next situation. It can't help you for the next situation because this situation never happened. So you can't prepare for it. You can't prepare for it, but you can't control it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if we say in the complicated environment and complicated things, you can solve the problems with the knowledge and experience of experts. You can write manuals, you can write rules, and those rules and those manuals and those procedures which you are having will help you to cope with complicated problems. And you know that each time, if you go according to those manuals, you will have always the same end result. This is in the complicated area. For example, a watch. A watch is a complicated thing. You need experts. You can put it in smaller parts. And if you want to put it together, you need an expert who will put it together. And you will solve your problem. Or maybe a car. You can put a car in different pieces, but if you want to put it together again, you need an expert who can help you to put it together. And you can control it from the outside, and you will always get the same result. In complexity, you have surprises. You have the human touch, because you never can control a human. You can't control people. Because you never know what will happen in the morning when your partner wakes up, how he will feel or she, what will be the first reaction. You can't control it. And there are always many surprises. You can't control it from the outside. So the knowledge or the rules, the manuals, the procedures, they can't help you in complex environment. What can help is having a lot of different masters and a lot of people who know their business, that they sit together and that they reflect on the problem and try to solve it. This is what we need in this new environment. And this is where also a creative process is very important as a social process. Creativity as a social process is very important. And this is the area where we have where we need a lot of innovations. We need innovative approaches. And this is why also the demand for innovations is increasing in the last decades. Because everybody is talking about our people need to be more innovative. They need to have the entrepreneurial mindset. They have to be creative. But why? They have to be because the manuals, the procedures, and everything what we had in the complicated area are not helpful anymore. For some cases, yes. If you are talking about accounting, if you talk about some processes, even in the HR department, they are helpful, but not for everything. So this is for me the difference between complicated and complex.
Okay, so I yes, please.
And in the complex area or environment or to cope with complex problems, we need the knowledge, the mastery of our people. We need to we need them to learn how to discuss again, because this is what we didn't learn. We didn't learn a discourse, and this is why I'm also very eager about the discourse. We didn't learn it in the school. We didn't learn it in the past in our organizations, and we need a discourse.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One more question about that. Do you think it's possible that both in my environments works at the same time? One you can control and the other one you cannot control it.
I'm convinced, and I see it even in my organization as well, that we have both at the same time. It is only important to know and to recognize when are we talking about complicated things and when are we talking about complex things. It is like Silke Herman and Nils Flaging said in their book, Complexity Tools, it is smart duality.
Mm-hmm.
This smart duality means it is not wrong, it is not bad, it is not good. We have both things at the same time in the organization, but we have to be aware when we are talking about complicated things and when are we talking about complex things. And we are very good trained for everything what is happening in the complicated area. And this is the area which came with the industrialization, with the mass production at the beginning of the last century. And we are very good trained. All our school system is based at the same. We had the transfer of knowledge from A to B. Everyone said how we should do something, not what, but how we should do something. It was regulated, very strictly regulated with manuals, procedures, and different things. And this is where we are trained in. But we are not trained for the complex problems, for the complex area, for the surprises which we are having in the market. And the pandemic in the last 1.5 year showed us very well what complexity really means with the whole variety of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I will say I have another question for that. If we are going to the main questions, does HR needs agility as well? What can you say based on all these factors or key elements that HR or people operations needed, or it's something that already is there and many people or many companies that's aware of that, or what is it?
Okay, agility is the answer to complexity. So I think that each organization needs to be agile. But if I talk about agile and agility, I mean organizational agility. And this is why talking only about people operations or HR is not, for me, the main question, because it is something which should be seen more in a more holistic way, that we should look at the whole organization and not only one functional part or one division. And this is something which can mislead us. And take in a wrong direction. If we think only about agility in HR or agility in people operations, because they are not an island, they can't work as an island. We are talking that we need organizational agility. It means that we need a different organizational design. And in this different organizational design, the role of the HR and people operations is changing and adapting according to it. And it can be completely different for each company or for each organization. I think that we should not try to copy paste the organizational design from one company to the other, because each is has its own issues to solve, and each company will find another solution how to organize their people operations and HR. If they are going to be a part of a multifunctional team, or if they are going to be like a shop inside of the organization, providing some support to other cells in the company or organization, it can be completely different. So also the question, does HR need agility? Yes, everybody needs to be more agile, but not on a divisional part.
Yes, I got your point, and I realize. Yes, you are referring to that's organizational agility or agile organizations. We're talking about an entire company. Okay, I realized that when you were answered that, we are talking the same, but like in different words. Yes, when we are talking about these things of innovation, or when an organization needs agile to answer this complex environments, that means the organization as a whole. I remember just one company that is doing that way. Yes, they understand that the same, and we are on the same page here. That's why I'm trying to say. So that leads me to the next question. That is also important when we are talking about organization. Is culture manageable? Okay, we can control culture.
Thank you for this great question. No.
You're welcome.
No, or maybe yes. Okay. What I see, if you open just the LinkedIn, for example, people will see 1,000 solutions how you can manage your culture, what you need to do. And if you do point one, point two, point three, we will always have the same solution and the same results. Really. If we say that people are not manageable, we can't manage people. We can manage maybe the communication and the interaction between people and the processes we can manage. But we can't manage even our partners or our kids. They have their own mind. They will always do what they want to do in any way. We can put some frames on it and maybe try to influence their behavior in a way. And this is the question. If we are saying that we can make some frames and influence the behavior, because as Kurt Lewin said, behavior is always a function of person and environment. If we talk about the changes So if we have this in mind, we can say that organizational culture is just the shadow of the organizational system we are having. So if we would like to influence culture in any way, we have to rethink and see how our system looks like. Mm-hmm. So otherwise, most of the practices, tools, which we are seeing are not changing the culture. The second thing is that a lot of companies, organizations are looking only on the symptoms and trying to solve or cure, because they are saying that they are curing something on the organizational level, and try to influence the culture, but with looking only at the symptoms and trying to solve the symptoms, they never went into the depth of the problem. And if we go very, very deep into the problem and try to see underneath the surface what is going on, in most cases, we will see that the system is the problem, not the people. There's also one very nice very nice sentence and from William Edwards Deming. When he looked at the problems in organizations, he found out that almost 94% of the problems which occur are because of a wrong system and not the fault of people. So only 6% of the problems which occur are somehow connected to the people. So if we are aware of it, then we should rethink about our structure, our organizational system, and maybe all those LinkedIn posts which are promising solutions will get less.
Yes. I was thinking about, okay, system thinking when you were talking about that. And yes, yes, you need to understand and to have the big picture of all of it before saying that, yes, people have the fall, or you have to know this subject, because some organization consider people as just numbers. We don't need that anymore. So, yes. Okay. But I'm thinking, sometimes I talk out loud, so I don't want that to be a a blocker here to our conversation. So let me ask you this. Is the idea of organizational development property to the ideal time that we are living? Or to the dynamics we are in?
So there is one part. If we are going back to the first or second questions mm-hmm. We were talking about, and about the differences between the complicated and complex environment which we mm-hmm. are experiencing, and remaining, or also having in mind the smart duality, mm-hmm. where I said we have both. I think from one side, in the learning and development area, we are having the e-learning, the classical and traditional approach toward learning, for example. And this is something with what is needed as well, because we have this complicated area where we can solve some problems with expert knowledge. That's fine. But what is missing in the companies is how to cope with the other part, which we are experiencing. And this other part has something to do with improving the social density in our organizations, to go or to break the silos which we are having, going toward more transparency, going even, because if we want to decentralize and say that each master or each person who is an expert in his own area, that they can decide what to do, they need the transparency. They need to know everything, what they need to know to get to a decision. And above all, they need to get trained to go into the discourse with their colleagues. And this is something what is missing in this complex area. We are not trained in it. Just think about how our daily work is going on. You go into a company, or maybe if you are working now remote, you have the meeting. In the meeting, there is set what you have to do. You have your checklists, to-do lists. So yeah, that's done. You delegate something and you go and work. But you don't have the space, you don't have the area, you don't have the formats where you sit together with your colleagues and try to find a common understanding or shared understanding about what is happening around you. And this is something you need above all the other things to cope with the surprises which are coming from those dynamic markets. This is what is missing at the moment in the learning and development area. Because I'm not saying that everything what is done in the past is wrong. No. There is really a need for it in this learning and development area. But we need to embrace the idea that the world changed and that we need something else as well, because our school system is not preparing us.
No, definitely today, no.
Today, they're not even today, they're not preparing us for it. And then we try and say to the people in the organization, oh, why don't you discuss more with your colleagues? Why don't you do this or why don't you do that? And we need to also liberate ourselves from the idea of the big heroes, superheroes, big leaders, because in complexity, the smallest unit which is creating value is a team, not an individual, not a person. And now think back what is done in the learning and development area. We are trying to offer trainings for individuals. We are trying to develop individuals, but we are not doing enough to train on the team spirit or the idea of the team. And the idea of the team is not to think about, okay, how can we communicate better if also the environment is not supporting it? Look, for example, we have the issue with the bonuses. We are making individual KPIs and giving bonuses to individuals. At the same time, we are promoting in the companies and saying we need to have the team spirit. We need to have the team idea in our head. So why are we supporting through the bonuses individual goals? And at the same time, we are talking about the team. It means that we are not consequent in it. That's a huge difference, because you are sending two different messages to the people. And it is very normal that the individual person will not think about anything what is happening in another division, at another group in the organization or with the team. because their reward isn't only on the individual level. This is just one small example that we are talking one thing and trying from the people to get ones. And on the other side, we are rewarding the individualism.
Okay, I see that, yes.
Even if you say about the heroes, we have superheroes, we have superpowers. We are not in a cartoon. We are not in a movie. And we have all together to work. And even if we are talking about the idea that team is the smallest unit for creating value, and if we are having in mind that people need to work together, so why don't we offer them to learn together as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes. yes. It was like some question lets me thinking just like this one. So how do we connect all of this when people talk a lot about people need to be happy in organizations and with their work as well? How do we connect all organizational agility and complex and complicated and complex environments? And this, these visions or these visions about how learning and development is, and how do we connect all of that when people or organizations or you name it are saying people need to be happy?
Yeah, that's a good question as well. I don't know. Who can influence your happiness, your feeling of happiness? That's the main question. Who is the person who is responsible for my happiness? I don't think that it's my employer, that they should be responsible for my happiness. And I think that's a completely wrong idea, which is misleading and making people unhappy in the end. Because again, in the public area, we are reading a lot. Oh, you can do whatever you want. You can have the great job and be happy with your job. Just name it. That's not quite true. Firstly, a lot of people doesn't know what would make them happy. I really envy those people who know from the early age what they want to be and what is making them even happy. But the most people are having maybe a different approach to it. I think people are like Douglas McGregor said, why people? because you have the theory X and Y. And I truly believe that people know that they have to work and that they want to be interested for their work. It is not a question that they need the happiness. Who can be 24 hours a day really happy? They want to be interested for the work they are doing. And there are a lot of different things which are important. And the whole happiness issue is just a narrative, wrong narrative, which was also born 110 or 100 years ago. So, and all the theories and a lot of managerial approaches were building up on this wrong narrative. There was a story, for example, with the Western Electric and the Hawthorne effect. They were making some experiments and tried to define what is helpful for the employees, how they can be more motivated. They tried to find also the connection between the people, between the managers, between the happiness, just to, how to say it, just to prove the managerial approach is a proper one. And today we know that it was just a false narrative. For example, they made some experiments at the time of the Big Depression. Mm-hmm. And at the Big Depression, and gave to, for example, six women who were putting the relays together in the company more money than they could earn in months. They get it in 1 week. And everything what they did in the experiment, they gave them a pause, a longer lunch pause. They were sitting after the work together, and they said, oh, we can improve their productivity. And if we make them happy, give them more, the more they will be more productive. But nobody mentioned that it was the time of the Big Depression. So it is not quite very very simple to say like that, okay, if we have a happy employee, he or she will do much more and be more productive. Mm-hmm. Or for example, if we look at the Maslow pyramid was not drawn by Maslow. And the all motivational theories are somehow building up on his Maslow pyramid, which was not even drawn from his side. It was drawn from president of the manager union in America at that time, because they didn't have their own scientific proofs, and they needed something from psychology, sociology, and try to find something so that they can improve and give more importance to the management as a new science. So if we have all those narratives in our mind, we can be more critical and think about it. Do we really need happy people? Is this the right word? Do we need happy people to be more productive? Or should we think about people which are intrinsically motivated, and they want to understand what they are doing, and then they want to give their best? I find it always mm-hmm. very interesting. For example, when you, from the people operations side or from the HR department, they're investing a lot of time and a lot of money to find experts in the market. They hire the experts from the market. And in the end, they are saying, not the HR department, but also in other departments, someone is coming and saying those experts how they should do their work. Not what they should do, how they should work. How should they do the work they are doing? Why? Why on earth are we investing so much time and money to find the right people and then saying them how they should do their job?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should think about those things and not about the happiness.
Okay, I see that. So if we had to like summarize like key takeaways, what can you share with us and with the audience about our talk?
About our talk here
now. Yes. What are the main key takeaways?
May I have four?
Yes.
Okay. Firstly, I think it is very important to know that people are not the problem, that people are the solution. Secondly, that they are always just a mirror. Their behavior is the mirror of the environment in which they are operating. And third, that in the complex environment, we have to be aware that team is the smallest unit to create value, that we need organizational agility. And in order to get this, that we need and train our people in discourse. Okay. So that they can get a shared and understanding about everything what is happening between and around them.
Mm-hmm. And the first one? And the fourth? Or
that was the fourth.
That was okay. Okay, I will say that okay, I already said that to you previously, but I loved this way of thinking. I appreciate that you are here with us sharing this. I love that. Okay, I will say that, that I am very grateful with you that you are here today with us sharing this. I will say experience or maybe point of view, but I think the main word here is thinking. So I think we are just finished the episode. So that will be, that it has been an honor having you here with us. Lakshmi, if you want to add something, feel free to do it, please.
I think the listeners, when they would be listening to this podcast, there will be a lot of, you know, internalizing and thinking going on, you know, and that is what we need from the audience. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Diana, for your perspectives. I mean, wonderful. And the key takeaways are like, okay, they are the bank on, you know, I would say. So thank you so much. Definitely people will be really enlightened with this session. Yeah. Thank mm-hmm. you.
And self-reflection, I will add too. Yes.
Yes, we are not even in the reflection. That is also one important thing. If we want to learn, it doesn't start with listening and learning. It starts with the reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura Lakshmi, thank you very much for having me and that you came to me. It is really an honor to be in your first podcast, which yes. will be broadcasted in English. Thank you yes. very much.
Thank you to you and the team and the company as well. And I have a, what if that one of our audience wants to reach out to you, how they can connect with you?
I'm very easy to find via LinkedIn.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay.
It is even very, very simple. If they want to reach out, my email address is very simple as well. diana@veturelli.com. So no problems.
Right. Okay.
And I want them to invite them to take a sneak into the www.discourse.com, but discourse with Q, not with C.
Yes. Okay, great. Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Lakshmi. It has been a pleasure talking to you. And we'll see in our next episode.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks to everyone who makes these podcasts possible.
In particular, thanks to the guest speakers and to you who are on the other side listening. If you liked it and were able to learn something new today, we invite you to share it with your entire network. We also invite you to subscribe to our different channels to follow our latest news. If you are interested in being part of these series, you can apply by clicking on the link that is in the general presentation of the podcast. Until next time.
A special thanks to the boys, Kashish Wadhwani.